Let's turn our Bibles, if we could please, just for a moment to Genesis 29. Genesis 29. Continuing on in our series about being faithful over a few things. Everyone wants to hear those seven words from the Lord Jesus Christ. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. And we've talked for the past several weeks now, going on almost 2 months since the start of the year, about being faithful over the few things that matter, not little things, actually the big things, but those big things that matter the most. We've talked about being faithful last week over our molding, over raising our children. We've talked about being faithful over the message that we've been given, God's message, the gospel of Jesus Christ. We've talked about being faithful over our maturity and growing in our relationship with Christ and being truly called to be not just a Christian, but to be a true disciple or follower, a learner of Christ. Next week, we'll talk about being faithful over this area of missions. But I suppose there's no area more important, at least practically speaking, than to being found faithful over this matter that we're talking about today. And it's really the matter of marriage, and really could have two applications. We're going to talk mostly to married couple, but we also being faithful over those. God's will is not that everyone would be married. God's will does call for some to be single or remain single, and we need to be faithful over our marital status, whether that's single or married. We need to be found faithful in our singleness, and we need to be found faithful in our marriage. And we need God's blessing on our home. A lot of times when we go out and visit people, Brother Robert and I usually get tagged up, it seems like, on Saturday mornings, and I've been to so many houses, and I'm not, please do not misunderstand me. If you have one of these in your home, I'm not being critical or anything, but so often when I knock on doors, we'll see a doormat. If we go to the next slide there, we'll see a doormat or some kind of something hanging on the door that says, bless our home. And there's nothing wrong with that. And again, if you have one of those, that's fine. Don't anything like that. But what we really need is, this feels like there's one word that's missing out there. What we really need is for God to bless our home. Amen. And we need God to bless the home. And he's promised in his word certain things that make that possible. And we talk about being a blessing or having a blessing. We sometimes make blessing out to be something far more spiritual than what it's meant to be. We sometimes talk about blessing as being hallowed, or blessing as being consecrated. It can mean those things. But really, to be a blessing to someone is really just about helping someone or meeting a need. Hey, when someone gets you out of a jam, whenever your back's up against the wall, and maybe it's just a thoughtful note, maybe somebody anonymously gave you a little bit of money to make it over a rough spot in your life, or maybe whatever it is, somebody really came through with you in a clutch, what do you typically say to them, or at least think of them? You say, wow, you are such a blessing. You've helped them. You've bettered them. And that's what we're talking about today. We want our home to be a blessing and something, a form where God can bless. Now, of course, here in the South, and you've got me saying it too, in the South, we say a lot of the times, well, bless your heart. I don't know all that means exactly, but I found myself saying it sometimes. I don't even know what it means, but I still sometimes say that. We talk about you've been a blessing to me. We all know what that means. You've helped me. You've lifted me up and been a help to me. And that's what we're wanting. And we're talking this morning about homes and marriages, and every home can be helped by mom and dad and the kids being a blessing one to another. So many people are trying to be successful, but we need to stop trying to be so successful and just start trying to be a blessing to others. And it begins in our own home, especially with those that sit around the dining room table with us, or those that whose room is just down the hall from us, or maybe if you have several kids in one bedroom, those who sleep in the bunk above us, and certainly for those that are married, those that sleep next to us in the bedroom. We need to be found faithful over a few things, including being faithful over our marriages. If you would look at Genesis chapter 29. We're going to look at a couple of different things. You go to the next slide. A couple of different areas of homes that God can bless and marriages that God can bless. And the first thing we see, that God can bless a home when there is a sacrificial love. God can bless God blesses the home where there is a sacrificial love. Won't you say that with me? God blesses the home where there is a sacrificial love. Look at Genesis 29 for a moment. And look at verse 9. Genesis 29, and actually in verse 9, the account of Jacob and Rachel. Genesis 29, verse 9. And while he yet spake with them, Rachel came with her father's sheep, for she kept them. And it came to pass, when Jacob saw Rachel, the daughter of Laban, his mother's brother, and the sheep of Laban, his mother's brother, that Jacob went near and rolled the stone from the well's mouth and watered the flock of Laban, his mother's brother. And Jacob kissed Rachel and lifted up his voice and wept. And Jacob, verse 12, told Rachel that he was her father's brother. And he was Rebekah's son, and she ran and told her father. And it came to pass, when Laban heard the tidings of Jacob, his sister's son, that he ran to meet him and embraced him and kissed him and brought him to his house. And he told Laban all these things. And Laban said to him, "Surely thou art my bone and my flesh." And he abode with him the space of a month. And Laban said unto Jacob, "Because thou art my brother, shouldest thou therefore serve me for naught? Tell me, what shall thy wages be?" And Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. Leah was tender-eyed, but Rachel was beautiful and well-favored. And Jacob loved Rachel and said, "I will serve thee 7 years for Rachel, thy younger daughter." And Laban said, "It is better that I give her to thee than that I should give her to another man. Abide with me." In verse 20, look at it. And Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed unto him but a few days, for the love he had to her. 7 years, Jacob sacrificially loved Rachel by just serving her father, serving Laban, that he might be able to take Rachel's hand in marriage. And that's not so much in and of itself the wondrous thing. Many of us work for a living and have to work hard and those kind of things. The amazing part about verse 20 is it says he worked 7 years, and it what? Seemed to him as nothing. It was just like nothing. Why? Because he loved Rachel so much. He loved her very much sacrificially. Now, we know Laban kind of tricked him. Well, not kind of. Laban did trick him. And actually, we won't read on in the verse, but, the night of the wedding, Laban, in the next few verses, slipped in. He withheld Rachel. He went back on his word, withheld Rachel and gave Leah. And then, of course, Jacob called him on it, didn't know it until the next morning and those kind of things, and called his father-in-law on it, and it was wrong, and those kind of things. And then what did he do? He worked another, as if 7 years wasn't enough, he worked another 7 years that he might have Rachel's hand. You know what? I bet it seemed as nothing for him then, too. Why? Because it was a sacrificial kind of love. That love was evident from Jacob to his wife. And even when things didn't go as planned, none of you have ever had anybody do a switcheroo on the night of your wedding night like Jacob did. But you know what? Without going down the road too much, sometimes things aren't going as planned. Sometimes marriage comes into being something we didn't think it would be. We weren't planning on this, and people change sometimes, and all those kind of things. And yet Jacob stuck with it. Every time we have, some of you will be in our house tonight, and of course all of you are invited, but some will come tonight, and we need to put away, we have one photo in our house, and it's a photo of my wife and I at the altar almost 25 years ago now. And people look at that, and they look at that, and I get the point now where I walk by and I say, that was Michelle's first husband, so I've changed a little bit over the years, and we'll let you decide if it's better for worse, but probably not for better. Too many would vote for. But anyway, people change and things change, but things didn't go maybe as Jacob had planned for sure, but he stayed with it, and he worked another 7 years for his wife sacrificially. And can I say, that's what every home needs, is a sacrificial kind of love. That's what every marriage needs, is a sacrificial kind of marriage. One that's not self-serving, one that's not demanding, one that's not cold and hard-hearted, but tender-hearted and humble and quick to confess sins and ask forgiveness. And that's a sacrificial kind of love. The second kind of a love that we see, home that we see that God can bless, is a sporting love. Look over just a few chapters back in Genesis 26, just a couple chapters back. God blesses the home when there's a sporting love. Let's say that together. God blesses the home where there is a sporting love. And let me just explain that. Genesis chapter 26, verse 6. Genesis 26, verse 6. And Isaac dwelt in Gerar, and the men of the place asked him of his wife, and he said, "She is my sister," for he feared to say, "She is my wife," lest, said he, "the men of this place should kill me for Rebekah, because she was fair to look upon." And it came to pass, when they had been there a long time, that Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked out a window and saw, and behold, Isaac was sporting with Rebekah, his wife. And Abimelech called Isaac and said, "Behold, of a surety, she is thy wife. And how sayest thou, she is my sister?" And Isaac said unto him, "Because I said, lest I die for her." That word sporting takes on kind of different connotations, but it's a fun kind of a love. And it's a love of kind of some jesting that was taking place between a husband and a wife. And they were having fun together as a husband and wife should, not in the wrong, you know, way of improper, you know, public affection or anything like that, but just some kind of a playful fun they were having that really would be best between a husband and a wife. They were sporting, and you know what, marriage should be fun. There's far too many marriages that are just taking so serious and started off fun, but life came along, had a mortgage or two, and had a child or two, and had setback or two, and these kind of things, and the fun can go out of marriage, and there's no more sporting taking place, if you will. We need to have fun. Proverbs 5:18 says this: "Let thy fountain be blessed, and rejoice with the wife of thy youth." Man, we need to rejoice with our wives, and we rejoice in the big game, and we had Super Bowl Sunday just, I guess, last Sunday now, and we rejoice in those kind of things, and then we might rejoice with some of the fellas about different things, but when do we rejoice with our wives and have fun and just laugh with our wives? Our homes ought to be homes of where there's a lot of laughter and just have some fun in those kind of times. Also needs to be a home where we work together with our spouses on projects around the house, out in the garden, doing those kind of things, doing housework. I've told this several times, but it's still true about men and women, you know, men doing housework together with their wives. You can look it up. You can Google it yourself. An exhaustive search of all available information on the internet has proven that no husband has ever been killed by his wife while he was doing the dishes. There's just something magic about a husband that helps around the house. And Leanne and Rob are not here. They're in Alabama, Tuscaloosa today. But she put something on Facebook. If you could turn the next slide there. She put this up there: "Ladies, let me help you with something. This is not sexy." And then she put, "Now this is sexy." And that's Rob doing the vacuuming. And I thought that was good. But those are kind of things, man, that will be a help to the home, working together, spending time together. When my wife and I were first married, you can go to the next slide if you want. When we were first married and before kids came along, I worked in the golf industry. And I didn't really never had golf before, but I grew to really like it, enjoy it, and played it a lot. And I could play about anywhere I wanted for free and all that kind of, it was fun. Now, she didn't really enjoy golf, but I did. So guess what my wife would do many times? We'd go out together and she'd ride along in the cart with me. And every now and then she would take a stroke with a golf club or whatever. But she may have enjoyed it some, but she didn't hate it. It wasn't, you know, far worse things. But why did she get in that car? Because she wanted to spend time together and just kind of have fun and be together and do those kind of things. Find a hobby where you can do something together like that. Have a date night more than once a year on February 14th or February 13th. Have a regular time of date nights. But spend time together. We're talking about having a sporting kind of love. Praise one another. Proverbs 31 says this: "Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her." He praiseth her. Men, of course, this is for women too. We just can't really lift up our spouses enough. I'm so thankful. I was in Ohio a little bit this past week and both of my flights were delayed. I got back in at 2 a.m. on Saturday morning, and my wife, we were texting back and forth. She said, "I'm praying for you," and just I'm so sorry. Looking forward to being here when you get home. And just we need to praise our spouses. I don't know what it is for you, but maybe it's write your spouse a card or a little post-it note and put it in their lunchbox if they take their lunch to work, or write a spouse and put a little note in their card and put it on their steering wheel before your wife gets into her car or something, and put something in the refrigerator. If in my house, that's sure to be seen. If it's put in the refrigerator, I will see that, because that's where I go. But find something to do, be a blessing to your spouse. And whether it's writing a note or on and on, I think of Miss Chris sometimes on Facebook will put nice things together. I saw Miss Dana put something on Facebook as well of her husband, just different things that her husband does. Do that. Do that publicly. Do that when you're around fellas. Do that when you're around some other guys, and they may start kind of, you know, saying some unkind things about their wife or women in general. Just go against that trend and say, boy, my wife, boy, I'm so thankful for her, and she's such a blessing to me. And praise her. Lift her up in front of others publicly and in front of your friends or even your friends on Facebook. And wives, do the same. Don't take part if you're out with a group of ladies and they just start kind of going around the horn, if you will, and speaking ill of their husbands or men in general. Just buck that trend. And well, my man, well, he's not perfect, but let me tell you what we did, you know, last week or last month or what we're going to be doing, and lift up your spouse. Amen. We need to do that and laugh a lot. So God blesses homes where there's some sporting love taking place. Have fun. I don't know what kind of legacy we'll leave in our home so much. I know kids sometimes remember things that parents never even thought they would remember, but I hope our kids will know of their mom and dad that there was a sporting kind of love where they had fun and they laughed a lot, and I think a wonderful way, a wonderful legacy to leave your children. Look on. Look over in Proverbs chapter 5. Proverbs chapter 5, if you would, just for a moment. Obviously, we have young kids in our mix, so we're not going to go far down here, but it would just be wrong of me to not mention God blesses a home between a husband and a wife where there's a sexual love that takes place there between a husband and a wife in the confines of marriage. Proverbs chapter 5. And once you found your place there, many of you probably have, if you could look over in Malachi 2 as well. Proverbs 5 and also Malachi 2. Proverbs 5, and we'll go to Malachi 2 next. But Proverbs 5, look at verse 19 and 20. Proverbs 5, verse 19 and 20. We just read a few moments ago, Proverbs 18, let thy fountain be blessed, rejoice with the wife of thy youth. We talk about that sporting kind of love. But God blesses homes where there's a purity in the sexual love as well. Proverbs 5:19, let her be as a loving hind and pleasant roe. Let her breast satisfy thee at all times, and be thou ravished always with her love. And why wilt thou, my son, be ravished with a strange woman and embrace the bosom of a stranger? God blesses homes where there's an honesty and a purity and an intimacy in sexual kind of love. And I know God created sex in part, that there might be procreation, and that the human population would flourish. He did tell Adam and Eve to go forth and multiply. He told Adam to be fruitful and replenish the earth and those kind of things. But he also made a way to be enjoyed between in the confines of marriage between a husband and a wife. And we need to protect that man and protect that ladies with our spouses. Look at Malachi chapter 2 for just a moment. Malachi chapter 2 and look at verse 15. Malachi 2:15 says this, and did he not make one? Yet he had the residue of the Spirit. And wherefore one, that he might seek a godly seed? And look at the last part of verse 15. Therefore, take heed to your spirit, and let none deal treacherously against the wife of his youth. Can I just say, being in the ministry for 10 years and being on this earth for almost half a century, I've just seen time and time again where spouses deal treacherously with the husband of their youth or with the wife of their youth. And men do that at times, getting caught up in illicit affairs, or even just emotional, giving away their emotional affections towards someone other than their wife, and stealing affections that are only due her. And he's dealing treachery in that case, treacherously with the wife of his youth. I've seen women, even in church, just kind of use that intimacy as just kind of a weapon and hold it over her husband's head, and just dealing treacherously with the husband of her youth. I got to tell you, in both cases, men, in both cases, women, it just almost never works out good for either one. When we start dealing treacherously, it always ends up bad, whether we're playing games and withholding ourselves from our spouse or giving our affections elsewhere. It always, always, always comes to ruin. But God blesses homes where there's a sexual love and a growing of intimacy and a purity towards one another. The fourth thing, God blesses homes where there's a singular love, a singular love. Turn to Song of Solomon's chapter 7. Song of Solomon's chapter 7, just for a moment. A singular love where we're devoted to our spouse. I suppose it's fictitious, but I heard about the account of a man that was going away overseas to work for a couple of years, and while he had a girlfriend he was about to marry. They were engaged, but he needed to raise some additional funds before they could be married and before he could support her and take that on. So he went away for a couple of years, and he promised to write her every week, and he did. This is before, you know, social media and those kind of ways to stay connected. But one time he was writing her, and he was just being honest. He says, "I love you, and I miss you so much." And he said, he was over in Western Europe. He said, "There's so many beautiful young ladies around here." He said, "But my heart's still for you." He said, "But although I am tempted sometimes," he just kind of left it at that. And so anyway, whenever she got that note, she sent him a package, and he opened it up. And in the wake of him feeling tempted, she put this, "Every time you feel tempted and your eyes begin to wander towards someone else, enclosed is a harmonica. Learn to play the harmonica." And so he wrote back, and he said he promises that he will be faithful, and he's going to practice that harmonica every day and think of her as he does. Well, the 2 years passed, and they continued to write back and forth. The 2 years passed, and he came home from Europe, and she was waiting for him there at the airport, and he was running through to embrace her. And right as he got to embrace her, she put her hand out. She said, "Stop, just hold a minute right there, bub." She says, "Before there's any hugging and kissing going on, I want to hear you play that harmonica." But he loved her singularly and was going to be faithful to her. And his desire was for her alone. And that's what we see in Song of Solomon chapter 7. Look at verse 1. Song of Solomon 7, verse 1. "How beautiful are thy feet with shoes, O prince's daughter. The joints of thy thighs are like jewels, the works of thy hands of a cunning workman. Thy navel is like a round goblet which wanteth not liquor. Thy belly is like a heap of wheat set about with lilies." Now, by the way, Nick, I just say, in the spirit of the video we just saw, if you're going to kind of, you know, quote some of the scripture to your wife, just use it. She may not be quite as motivated by her belly be likened to a wheat set about by lilies. Maybe she is, but just you got to know your. That's part of dealing with your wives according to knowledge. But verse 3, "Thy two breasts are like two young roes that are twins. Thy neck is a tower of ivory. Thine eyes like the fish pools in Heshbon." That may not motivate your wife if she knows her eyes are like fish pools. That may or may not, you know, endear her to you. So just use discretion. "By the gate of Bathurabim, thy nose is as the tower of Lebanon, which looketh down towards Damascus. Thine head upon thee is like Carmel, and the hair of thine head is like purple. A king is held in the galleries. How fair and how pleasant art thou, O love, for delights." I know some of this language is maybe not language. It's not language we would use regularly, but the point is you can just hear and imagine you can visualize the affection and the desire, the singular desire they have for one another. Verse 7, "Thy stature is likened to a palm tree, and thy breast to clusters of grapes. I said, I will go up to the palm tree, I will take hold of the boughs thereof. Now also thy breast shall be as clusters of the vine, and smell of the nose like apples, and the roof of thy mouth like the best wine for my beloved, that goeth down sweetly, causing the lips of those that are asleep to speak." Let's say verse 10. This is actually, for those that are coming tonight, this will be our text tonight as we talk about being God's beloved. We'll have a little devotion around this tonight. But let's say verse 10 together. I am my beloved's, and his desire is towards me. I am my beloved's, and his desire is towards me. Husbands, have you told your wife lately just almost those exact words? You are mine, and all my heart's desire is just for you. Or spouses, or wives, have you said that same thing to your husbands? Is there a singular desire, an undivided desire, singular love and desire for one another as we meet each other's needs? Ephesians 5 talks about in verse 33, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence, or we would say give respect to her husband, a singular kind of love. And the fifth and final thing I put down here, we're talking about a home that God blesses, a marriage that God blesses. The fifth thing, if you turn to 1 Peter 3, a fifth area is God blesses homes where there is a spiritual love. Let's say that together. God blesses the home where there is a spiritual love. And we see that to be true in 1 Peter 3. One thing I've been so encouraged about, so many of you are good do-it-yourselfers. You're so very handy. We have a lot of different handy men and handy women. And actually in our house, my wife's kind of the handy man at our house. She just has that knowledge, grew up in a home where a lot of that was taught. And how many of you kind of like DIY projects, kind of like to do some things yourself like that? Quite a few of you, several of you. Some of you are holding out on me. I know you do. And that's good and right. And I'm not big that way. I wish I were more along those lines. But can I say when it comes to marriage, we need that in the home. But when it comes to marriage and spiritual matters, we don't need to do it our way. We don't need DIY husbands and wives that are following their own ways and their own plans for their marriage and not following God's plan. We need to do it God's way. And 1 Peter 3:7 says this, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together. That's that spiritual aspect of husband and wife, being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. There needs to be a spiritual kind of love where you not only go to church together, but you talk about spiritual things together. You read the Bible together. You pray together. One of the great enjoyable thing that my wife and I do many Saturdays, we go out on visitation together or soul winning together, and just doing that together, spiritual context of going out and serving the Lord together, whatever it is, find the aspect of service that God has for you and do that with your spouse, and a spiritual kind of love will flourish and thrive. I've talked with many different couples at times and kind of shown a triangle. I don't have it up on the screen, but I'll sometimes show a triangle, and at the top of that triangle is God, and on the two corners, in one corner is the husband, the other corner is the wife. And if husband and wife want to grow closer together, one of the best ways to grow closer together is if both husband and wife grow closer to God. And as husband and wife, you know, go up that triangle closer to God, guess what? They're also closer to each other. Down here, they're this far apart, but as they get closer to God, by it's natural spiritually that they would grow closer to the Lord. But to have a home that God blesses, you and I are going to have to fight for it. Psalm 144:1 says this, blessed be the Lord my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight. Can I just say, church, as we draw our time to close, if you want a home that God blesses, if you want a home where there's sacrificial love, sporting love, sexual love, singular love, spiritual love, it's going to be a fight to make that happen. It's going to be a spiritual war to make that happen. There's a very real enemy that's going to do everything he can to withstand your way to keep that from happening. A very real enemy that loves to tear down the walls of marriage. A very real enemy that loves to cause division in the home and to cause the hearts of a husband and wife to grow distant from each other and cold towards one another. It's going to be war, but it's worth it. God blesses home where there's a spiritual love a singular love, a purity in the sexual love, a sporting love, and a sacrificial love. Heavenly Father, help our homes to be exactly of that. We all want you to bless us. We ask for that. It's not a wrong prayer to ask for your blessing. We need your blessing. We need your blessing in our daily lives, in our Christian walk, at our place of work, in our schools. We need your blessing in this church. We need your blessing in parenting. Lord, we definitely need your blessing in the marriages. Lord, the enemy's caused such harm and damage is because in a great degree we've gotten away from doing things your way, the Bible way. You know, the Bible talks about in the book of Proverbs more than once, three times even, there is a way which seemeth right unto man. There is a way which seemeth right unto a woman, we could also say, but the end thereof are the ways of death. But Lord, your way, marriage done your way, life done your way, does not lead in death, but leads to life. Not just eternal life when our time on this earth is through, but Lord, just a joyful life in the here and now. Lord, the call on all of us today, our husbands and wives alike, are not to be perfect. That's not the call. We can't attain that. But Lord, the call is to have a God-driven love in the home that demonstrates itself in sexual love, in singular love, in spiritual love, in sporting love, and certainly a love that's sacrificial. And, of course, Jesus Christ demonstrated that so beautifully for us on the cross, that agape love of dying to self that others might have life.